Triple M's Rush Hour podcast, brought to you by the Holden Commodore Black. Style is nothing without substance. From 39K drive away, plus free auto. Terms and conditions apply.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Oh, you could have met Lib.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Are you serious?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, yes. Very nice to have your company. And I tell you what, big show. Yeah. This is a, like, packed to the brim.
Ooh.
You can't get any more in, Bill.
All right, what we got?
Well, midwife Kath in here just released a book, Star. We've spoken to her before.
Everything to do with babies, bath and boobies.
And sleep as well, we're going to get to with her because lots of young parents battle to sleep. Maddie Preston.
Presto.
So fresh back from overseas and ready to go.
Yeah, not too well, I don't think.
Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett, midweek rub.
Exactly.
Yeah, full.
That is full.
And stars everywhere. Hello, Bill.
That is a fat lady sock. G'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners, and g'day to you, Dangerous.
I just think you're terrific.
Ah, thank you. Now, Jimmy boy, what do you want first, cricket or footy?
Cricket.
Well, Australia got beaten last night by the South Africans.
South Africa.
They batted first, 9 for 189. Colter Noel bowled very well, actually.
Yes.
And obviously should have got that, Jim. All out 142. They lost by 47 runs.
Oh, no.
Finches, he got 72. And
Finches.
Nathan Lyon got 31. That's about it. So that was a bit disappointing.
Yes.
Oh, we all love a stoush, a verbal stoush, Jimmy boy. A tit for tat.
And what's happened here?
Well, have a listen today to Port President David Kosh.
That's not seem right. Not a great look.
And it's an unusual situation, this one, isn't it? You know, there's
why are you being caught cheating on drugs and that entitles you to a number one draft pick?
Oh, that's Koshy talking about Essendon and should they get the number one draft pick, of course.
Yep.
And then former Essendon champ.
Superstar.
Timothy Michael Watson shot back.
It's opportunistic for somebody in a position like he holds, David Kosh, to make a statement like that. Even an off-the-cuff statement like that. Because there is a power associated with the words of people that hold positions like he holds. The AFL have already penalised Essendon, going back to 2013.
Oh, so he's not happy, Timothy Michael. So nice little stoush, Jim. We love that.
Yep.
Some old whispers might be onto something again, Jimmy boy.
Whispers Brownless.
North Melbourne coach Brad Scott says he's fine, but not so sure about his ruckman. Todd Goldstein, of course. The rough estimate last week, that is 85% chance, Jim.
Yep.
And we will not risk him unless he's 100%, and he's still not 100% fit. So he might play against the Cats, Jimmy.
Wednesday, she's Saturday night, Bill. There's a long way to go between now and then.
Well, if Hawkins is out for that little, whatever you call it, for a week, I think Todd should go out too. Just on fairness.
What logic
on fairness
are you rolling with there?
Well, I'm happy to see Brad Scott, believe it or not, Tim, has stuck up for his brother. Chris Scott, of course, at Geelong.
For Hawk more than his mother.
Yeah, for more. Hawk. He said, it's all very well to say players are on notice now, but Tom didn't get much notice, did he? Well done, Brad.
I don't think anyone can argue that. Any sane person involved in footy's got to look at that and think, is this honestly where we're headed?
Exactly, Jim. No, it was very...
The answer to that should be no.
Very, very disappointing, and a lot of love for the joke last night.
No, there'd be none. No, there'd be none of that. Now, topics Brayshaw next.
Ooh.
On the back of old Smacker Brayshaw wandering into town.
Smacker!
I'll tell you that next. Oh man, Ian Brayshaw, otherwise known internally within the family as Smacker.
Smacker.
Is rolling into town today.
In fact,
may well be here now, if not not far away.
So your mum was just in town.
Joni was here.
They don't come together.
Well, they've got the dog. That's the problem. The dog's in its latest years, nearly buggered. So they can't leave the dog on its own. So one of them comes and then the other one comes.
The bloody
which
dog.
Hilarious. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, so Smacker rolls in. He's not here for as long as Joni was. But he, of course, like a lot of fathers, has shaped certainly the boys in our family's outlook on life. The lot of life rules came out of Smacker.
Yes.
And we adhere to them to this day. One of them I'm going to be very interested in, Bill.
What is it?
Because he comes here for 10 days.
10 days.
He takes one of the cars that I have. the 10 days. Two. See, he latches onto one of them.
He takes one, yeah.
And, which is fine because he's used to live in Melbourne, got lots of mates, he can bugger off and do whatever he likes. There's no problem with any of that.
Yes.
But what he always said to us was, growing up, if you borrow anyone's car, you return it full of petrol and clean.
Of course.
No exceptions.
And when does he leave?
He leaves in 10 days' time, Bill. So I will be very interested to see what sort of nick the car's in upon his departure.
Full of mud and empty.
Well, Bill, this is the thing.
That'd be interesting.
If you bring your boys up to, with standards.
Have you always adhered to that, Jim?
Yeah, I always have. Yes. You must maintain them yourself.
Righto.
So I wait and see what happens with Macca.
So when you borrow a car or something.
When I borrow a car, full.
Yes.
And when you say clean, within reason. Yeah, I mean, if you only had it for bloody half a day and it's no dirtier than when you got it, well, that's different.
Depends what you've been doing,
certainly
in it.
Certainly petrol bill, and you must have it clean, full when you hand it back. Anyway.
Yes.
So hence.
Hence.
133353. I know many of the family members, be they female or male, will have had one of their parents instill a rule in them when they grew up.
That's it.
What is it?
Well, let's ask them.
That's what we're doing, Bill. 133353. What I won't do is ask you again because we sort of went there yesterday, don't you? And really, you came back with nothing.
Well, manners.
You just looked stupidly ahead and said, "I don't have anything."
Manners. Which I forget sometimes.
All right. So the rules that your parents instilled in you when you were growing up that you still use to this day. Ring us now, 133353.
We'll get you to see the Cats take on the Roos, by the way. Centre wing, Etihad Stadium.
Goldman.
The ultimate
Not
footy.
Not playing Goldman.
Talking about your parents when they're growing up, the rules with which you still live your life by, like mine, of course, you borrow someone's car, you return it clean and full of petrol.
Good one, Jim.
Old Smacker is coming over for these next 10 days, borrowing my chariot. I see if the same applies, Bill.
Will be interesting, Jimmy boy.
Well, Hillside Luke's there. Hey, Lucas.
Hey, Luke.
How's it going, boys? My old man always taught me when you shake a bloke's hand, you look him in the eye.
Yep. Good.
And also, when you cheers someone with a beer, you have to have a sip afterwards. A lot of people don't have a sip afterwards.
Oh, you've got to have a sip.
Yeah, it's very good. And look them in the eye when, squeeze firmly when you're shaking hands too. You can't have the wet fish, Lucas.
Spot on. That is a good one. Rachel's there in officer. Hey, Rach.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good. Who, mum or dad taught you?
Both.
Yes.
Always taught me that when you're invited to someone's house, you never go empty-handed.
Yes.
And that I was always told I had to call my friend's parents Mr. and Mrs. until they invited me to call them otherwise.
Yes, that's interesting. And that's dropped away a bit now, I reckon, Rach, isn't it, from our day?
It has a little bit. Most of my kids' friends all just call me Rachel, which I don't mind. But, it's definitely not quite like when we were kids, that's for sure.
What do you take over, Rach? Like a box of chocolates or something?
If they tell you to bring nothing, even just a little snack plate of Cabana and cheese or some chips or a bottle of wine, something just to show you appreciate their hospitality.
Yeah,
nice. Well said. Yeah. I like it. All right, Tommy's in Pakenham. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
The old man give you a rule that you live by, or mum?
Mum used to say never drink alone.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you?
Oh, I don't. No.
That's funny.
That's not bad, is it, Jim?
Like that. Brilliant. Luke's in Ferntree Gully. Lucas?
Afternoon, boys.
Go on. What do you learn from mum and dad?
One from mum, never to bully anyone.
Yes.
Good.
And one from the old man, to always take pride in your work.
Yes, and it's not enough of that these days.
It's dropped
either.
Off, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sean's in Port Melbourne. Shawnee?
Yep, how are you, boys?
Yes, good, Shawnee. What do you got for us, buddy?
Mum always taught me, no matter what you get served up when you go to someone's house, you've always got to eat everything on your plate, even if it's Brussels sprouts.
Ooh. I've heard that one, Jim. Eat everything off your plate.
That's it.
And Dad taught me if you want to play with the boys, you've got to work with the men.
Oh, righto.
Which means what?
Well, if you go out on the party and on a weeknight or whatever, you've got to get up and go to work the next morning.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a good one.
And well said, too. Yep.
Exactly. Actually, the old man used to always say, there's always someone better around the corner. That's all he used to say.
Yep. Well, I've got a good mate, and I won't say his name, who he reckons
Louis.
And his old man sat him down quite early in life.
Yeah.
Said, a couple of things I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
Always buy when it's your shout.
Yes, good.
And the next one he found a bit disturbing, Bill. The old man said, and deny. I guess he was only about 14. His old man left the room. He thought, hang on a minute. Where are we at here?
Deny.
Bobby's in Seaford. Hello, Bobby.
Bobby.
Hello, gentlemen. How are we?
All right, what'd you learn?
my parents always told me to respect your elders, no matter how old they are, which doesn't happen very often nowadays. And the second one was always give up your seat on public transport to the elder people.
Mm. And that used to happen a lot too. I heard about a story recently from someone who said they tried to do the same thing and copped abuse from the older person.
That's right.
Who said, what the hell do you think I am? Can't not capable of standing
exactly.
The bloke, well, I'm just offering him a seat.
To help you out, you old.
So it actually backfired on him a bit. But I agree with that, Bobby. That's courtesy.
Mm. Yeah,
that's what that is.
It's common manners courtesy. And courtesy, Jim.
Doesn't happen enough.
No, that's right.
Benny says, Bill's dad instilled in him never to tell a funny joke and he followed it religiously.
Benny.
Nice one, Benny.
Benny Gallen.
Benny Gallen. All right, so Willis, these are big tickets.
Yes, I know.
North Melbourne, Geelong.
Yes. Where are we here? Any North Melbourne Geelong supporters, Jim? Do you see them?
Well, how would I know, Bill? Just names
let's. What about Sean in Port Melbourne?
Yes.
Who do you barrack for, Shawnee?
Go to tickets.
Well, you might want to see a good game for a change. You've got it, North Melbourne. Actually, it's Geelong versus North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium.
Saturday night.
So you're getting along there, Shawnee?
Thanks, boys.
Right on, mate.
All roads lead to Etihad. I tell you what, I tried to get some tickets for that game today.
Oh.
And level A only available.
Is
so
it?
Clearly the sales are up.
Oh, good.
Jeez.
That's what Geelong brings to the table.
Is that what it is, Bill?
And no Goldie, I'm hearing. Yeah. Fox Sports News had just gone with it, Jim.
I think the fact that you're playing the number one team in the comp might have helped you at the gate, Bill. A little bit.
What? We're there. Actually, got 43,000 members,
Bill.
I think.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well done, Jim.
Midwife Kath joins us in studio right now as well.
It's great to have her in, of course. The release of the new book, The First 6 Weeks, has absolutely taken the world by storm. And she is, of course, the midwife to the stars. Hello, Kath.
Hello there, James.
Tell us a bit about the book.
Catherine.
Nice to have you in. How's it going the first 6 weeks?
It's doing really well. I'm so happy the way it's going.
Beck Judd, of course, has done one of the Fords.
Yeah.
A couple of them here.
Yeah.
So why would people buy this? What is it telling them?
Well, it's... You know, I like to get people organised from day one.
Yep.
So they don't get into any problems. It's like building a house. You start at the foundation. Yep. You don't start at the roof. So start at the bottom and work up. And by getting a good routine to start with on day one, it works.
Well, it's funny because I had a very nice time with a great friend on Sunday who had a brand new, 6-month-old. Mm. And I was looking at her with her and I'm thinking... Back in those days, Bill and I both have 4, of course, so my first 22 now. Mm. Back in those days, you were so terrified with a brand new one of anything you were doing.
The dads did nothing.
Dads did nothing.
Nothing.
And the mums were so, like I've always said, it's like holding, cradling a Fabergé egg. Mm. Now, when you get your 4th, you're bouncing them off the floor
absolutely.
And you're rolling them down the stairs and it's all, you're so relaxed because you realise that they are actually far hardier than you thought first up.
And when you have your first baby, you don't know what you don't know. That's the biggest problem. Second baby, you think, right, I've parented, we've got some experience, we know what to do. So it's first-time parents that this is aimed for, but also second-time parents who have had a pretty tough time with feeding and sleeping, it really helps them too.
So if you're neurotic as a parent, because it's not just the mums, dads can be equally bloody,
an extended family.
That's it.
Yes.
That's got to translate through into the baby, yeah?
Yeah, it does. It just because, they get quite chaotic, and they respond to things that are not a problem. Mm. Like people worrying about the hiccups or a baby passing wind or... Mm. You don't worry about
yellow
that. You
poo.
Yellow poo, Billy. You
or
don't
green
worry
poo.
About. You worry about St Kilda, red, black, or white poo.
Ah,
okay,
is that true?
Absolutely.
Remember that. That's a good tip.
Yep. Mm.
But also, the problem is Google, girlfriends or mothers or mothers-in-law
absolutely.
That get involved when really every baby's different.
Yeah. And you can't compare how your child was or my child was, and people will tell you their story and think that that's how it has to happen. So women are vulnerable with their first baby. They'll take it on board. They try it and it doesn't work and then they think they're a failure.
Yeah.
Also, not every woman lactates the same. So not every woman makes a lot of milk.
Right.
So, if you have a group of women in one room, not everyone's going to be able to successfully breastfeed their baby. So some women need to use formula, which creates such a stir for some people in the community. But formula is food made for babies.
Yeah.
It's not
Not as much as circumcision. What about the blue you have there?
Well,
that's another.
I don't think they have quite as big a blue as they used to.
Still do, don't they?
Yeah, they do, but it's actually not as common as that. Right. Yeah.
Hey, tell me this new sleeping thing where parents are booking themselves into places with the baby, and we even are starting to hear now that they're booking a spot before the baby's even born.
Yeah,
your thoughts on this?
Crazy, because, you know, it's taking away the instinct of parents to actually parent and learn how to parent and work with their baby rather than panicking and being told this is how you have to do it. Mm. So mine's not a recipe of, you know, you have to do A, B, C, D. It's actually giving, you know, instructions and understanding and confidence to people that babies don't sleep all night.
Yep.
They just don't. Mm. And they will have periods of time when they'll sleep, and then they'll have periods of time when they'll wake up. So booking into a sleep school early is crazy. Mm. You can get it organised in the first 6 to 12 weeks.
And if you're buying a copy of the first 6 weeks, you're touching on that in there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bath, very important.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Listen to Bill.
Yeah.
How many times did you bath any of your kids?
Well, and that is our problem because blokes didn't do a lot.
In other words,
we're going to take a break and we might take some calls from lady women out there if they want to ring in and talk to midwife Kath or even midwife Kath and ask her any questions. But the bathing's very important. But also blokes out there, well, I want a tip for after the break. This is a tease, it's called.
Yeah.
that we actually feel useless. And when you're at home and you're just standing around and going, I should be doing something, but I'm feeling bloody useless here. So have a think about it. We'll be back after the break.
All right, 1-3-3-5-3. Any questions you got for Kath, jump on the line now.
Midwife Kath is with us in studio as well.
Hey, 1-3-3-5-3, taking the calls, the questions. The author, of course, the first 6 weeks in all good bookstores as we speak.
Yeah.
Shane writes in, Bill has no say in this conversation. His 11-year-old son can't even ride a bike.
Yes, what do you say to that, midwife?
Well, I was just saying the best place to teach a child to ride a bike is in the park.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Why? Because he'll fall off and hit the grass.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
Andy's in Langwarrin, joins us with a question for you, Kath. Hey, Andy.
Yes, always.
What do you got for Kath?
I've got a 6-month-old who struggles to sleep more than an hour to an hour and a half of a night time. We have to go in and he wakes up screaming. We sort of have to go in and almost put a bottle in his mouth to settle him.
Yep. What happens is that your little one just doesn't know how to go back to sleep. So there's a thing called controlled crying that's in my book. And so you need to teach him to go back to sleep. It's a very easy process. It's safe and it works. So if you look up my website, Midwife Kath, you'll find it there. And it doesn't take long and he doesn't need to be fed overnight. Just needs to be fed during the day.
We found that he gets to a stage where he literally cries himself into a state and we can't settle him unless we actually pick him up and physically settle him that way.
Sure. So you don't just leave him cry. You go in and out at certain intervals. So it's a more gentle way of doing it and reassuring him as you go in. So leaving a baby just to cry is just you don't do that to any child.
Oh, we don't do that. No.
I'm not saying you do. I'm generally.
We used to shut the door, and that was controlled crying.
Was it, Bill?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, Hank. Oh,
I used to, by the way.
Julie's in Glen Iris. So, Jules.
Hi. Hi, guys.
What do you got for Kath?
Kath, it's a little bit off theme, but I'm a remedial massage therapist, and I have a lot of female clients coming in with sore shoulders who have had their second baby. And we get onto the topic of how do I explain to my husband that I do so much, but it doesn't look like I do a lot, that I'm not just, you know, walking around with a cup of tea and a biscuit in my hand, that I'm exhausted. I look physically exhausted. But how do I get that across to my husband? That conversation comes up quite a lot.
Leave the baby with him for 1 hour.
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
Just 1 hour
very
is enough.
Good. No, that is so true. Yeah. It is so true. Because we had a big gap between our first two and back two. And with the back two, I was determined, Kath, to have more to do. with the group bringing up because I was away playing a bit when I was younger. Anyway.
Playing cricket.
Yeah, yeah. Not playing. That's what you're talking about. Anyway, the respect that I then had for their mum grew incredibly.
Just an hour's enough.
Nuts.
Yes.
What the hell's that?
Yeah, that's right.
You can't take your bloody eyes off them for a start, especially when they start getting
put them in
a
pram and walk for an hour.
That what you do,
yeah, that's it. That's about
well, and then just hand them back at the
that, well, your hour's up. Oh!
Chad's in Roeville. Hey, Chad.
Hi, JB, Billy.
Hey, Chad.
Just wanted to ask a question about vaccinations. I got a six-week-old who got vaccinated yesterday and doesn't want to sleep by himself, only wants to sleep in our arms.
Yeah.
I just want to ask midwife Kath what she thought.
Well, first of all, he's only 6 weeks, and good old Panadol is the cure to babies who have vaccinations. They do, they can get sore muscles and, you know, get a bit of a sore tummy. So if you follow the guide to the amount of Panadol per weight for the baby, very safe. And hold the baby. It's not a crime to hold your baby. It's fine.
Mm. Yeah. It's just it's a really good sleeper, and we hoped we didn't break him by giving him vaccinations.
No.
But, last night it was just a little bit more clingy than usual.
Yeah, absolutely. And feed him, and just Panadol 5-hourly.
No worries.
Righto, well done. Yeah. Dan's in Dingley Village. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, hello, guys. Just got a question for Kath in relation to potty training. How do I know when the child's ready?
When he sits on the toilet. I know it's very, very rare. I'm not a big believer in training children with potty training. I like to let them do it themselves. So my theory is they'll go to school talking, eating, going to the toilet, and with some manners. If you do it too early, just everyone just gets too stressed.
No probs. Thanks.
Okay, good luck.
Beautifully done.
Got any strategies to help the Dale not to want number 5? So that's what he's saying here. Teddy, he doesn't want number 5. The Dale wants number 5 without going in and having the snip.
I was going to, well, no sex is no, one thing.
Well, I think he might want one now and then.
But, well, you know, I think once you get past 2 or 3, I'm the 8th in the family, so
might as well keep rolling your head.
That's right.
Well, our idiot mate, Mark Ricciuto, that's certainly how he's gone about it, isn't it? He now had six.
Six.
I mean, that's just a random act of madness.
But I think it gets easier, so I've heard. I've only had one child myself.
Oh, crikey. Not six. Yeah, it's a new house, that's new nuts. Car, yeah. Never go on a family holiday. Holidays. Bugger that, Bill.
But the baths are very important, aren't they? The bath to bathe.
You are obsessed with bathing.
Well, because I think it puts him in a nice little state. We all like a bath before we go to bed, don't we, Kat?
And a bottle, Billy. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. What about
bottle of VB, the long neck, and a bath?
So what I do is I get the dads involved by bathing the baby at 10 o'clock at night, so late, and the mums can go to bed beforehand.
Good. Yes.
The dad gives the bath, the nice deep warm bath. Dress and wrap the baby, give the baby a bottle of either Express breast milk or some formula, and then he goes to bed for the night. And then the mum gets up when the baby's had a sleep. So she has the potential to have 3 or 4 hours sleep, which it's like a week in Noosa.
Yeah, it would be then. Exactly.
You have a baby.
There's the essential baby routine that really works the first 6 weeks. Midwife Kath, I'm guessing all bookstores. Where do you get this?
Yeah, or all online on my website.
Beautiful. All right, well done. Great to see you.
Thanks, Jim.
Big night of soccer last night at in Melbourne, Etihad Stadium, Jimmy Boy. The girls played first, Australia versus New Zealand, one all draw there. Mm-hmm. Matilda's there. And then, of course, the men's took on, the Aussies took on the Greeks, or Greece. 2-1 Greece, Jim.
What?
Yes, kicked a nice goal. One of the Greek boys kicked a goal from about 55 metres out. Goalie was standing out too far, trying to, you know, be a sweeper, I suppose they call it, behind. Out too far, Jim, and he's kicked it 55 metres over his head and bounced it through. Very good goal. Mm-hmm. 33,000 there last night. That's a pretty good crowd.
Yeah,
I
it is a good crowd.
Bloody on a Tuesday night. So, they love their soccer too, and they got a bit fired up. I just wonder about the flares. Are they dangerous flares?
I don't know. They don't like them. I think the ones that you fire off into the air are a bit of a worry.
But I don't know how dangerous they really are, to be honest,
Jim. Wouldn't have a clue, Bill. No. Now, while we're just saying things prior to the news, We hope that Liam Pickering, our great mate, done okay.
Liam.
Have no idea about the ins and outs of the case. Not something I have any expertise on at all, but he's a very, very good man, Liam Pickering, and a good footy bloke. So our hopes are that he's going to be all good.
Played for North Melbourne and Geelong,
of course. And very good football for both.
Best and fairest at the Cats.
He was.
He was, Pickers. Yeah, good man.
Phil's just taken himself out of the studio to fart. That's what's happened.
Oh,
just as we're going to air, you just walked out.
No, I didn't. I had to go out and see someone. It's their birthday. And I got some birthday cake.
That is just 100% a lie.
No,
and
it's not.
The issue with it is
that
as you've shut our door, which is the right thing to do, and in the airlock, that's the exact exit of the news studio that poor old
Pato's
locked in there now for like 15 minutes.
Oh, and she might be reporting on her own death.
at
5 o'clock, Jim.
You can't be doing that.
No, no. Well, you can.
To an icon of our station.
Well, it's better to have an empty flat than a bad tenant, Jim.
No. Now, we've got an amazing... I tell you what you need to do is get online. A photographer for the Daily Telegraph in Sydney.
Yes.
So it's syndicated around the papers, the News Corp papers.
I know.
Around.
Yes, Jim.
You need to see this.
This
is off Newcastle. Daniel Caban, I presume is how you say it, or Caban, is surfing off Caves Beach, which is, I gather, south of Newcastle.
Yes.
And the shots of a wave, and he's just peeling across it with a 3.5-metre-long great white shark exiting the water about 50 metres behind him.
Why do they jump out of the water, the sharks?
Well, I don't know. They do with seals and stuff, don't they? Come up behind to grab them.
Yeah, it's a great shot.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. But if you were the surfer and you saw that, you'd never, ever enter the water again.
Exactly. Because he would have caught the wave about where the shark
where
is.
Where the shark was.
Exactly.
Bill, it's just nuts.
Gee.
It is huge, this bloody thing, and the whole shark is out of the water.
I'll tell you what, surfers have got to be put on notice, Jim.
I'm with you.
Oh, mate, because there's a lot of shark attacks. There's one just recently, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Well, there's been
over
a couple.
In Perth,
a couple.
In Dari,
exactly.
Absolutely.
So I tell you what, it's a bit of a worry. There seems to be more. There used to be, you didn't hear a lot about them, but now you're hearing a lot more about shark attacks.
That is one of the nuts photos you'll ever see, so get online and check it out.
Check
it's completely
out.
Insane.
Mm.
Matt Preston going to join us very shortly from MasterChef.
Presto.
Got the great man in, Matty Preston. He's often in here. We love every time he comes. Fresh back from India.
Yes.
Matty, welcome.
Thank you very much indeed. It's nice to be in a place where people are calm and polite.
Yes. How are you feeling? Straight back from India.
India was pretty good, but I got myself crook in Singapore, which is kind of ironic given Singapore's got this history of being one of the neatest, cleanest, most uptight places in the world. So I'm feeling a bit bubbly. But the surprise rate, you don't want to be sick in India, so that was good. And we had some great food. I was there with the boys, we were doing some live shows. It was madness and mayhem, and it's weird to go to a country where they love MasterChef even more than people do here. It was kind of like being in a boy band but being very old.
It's probably news to a lot of Australians because it was news to me that the show is actually broadcast into India and is phenomenally popular.
It's one of the three biggest English language shows in the country, so that's up there with like the Desperate Housewives or the Lost or the Friends or all those other shows. So like all the big American shows, we're kind of up the top of that. So it is like it would be like being in NCIS or something like that.
Or Brett Lee or Ricky Ponting.
Shane Warne.
They love their cricketers.
Yeah, well I actually had my hair cut by the same man who cuts Shane Watson's hair over there.
Because
I was in Bangalore and it was we had a nice conversation. He's left a lovely legacy of warm feelings towards Australia, that man. They loved
Shane
him
Watson,
over there.
Because he has an ear.
and he has been the most successful Australian IPL player, Bill.
I did suggest that I would go and play for him.
It's a terrible haircut, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
It's in your eyes.
Bill.
It is not. It is a shocking bloody haircut.
It's stylish. I want to be in Bollywood.
You think you're in a boy band with that bloody haircut? What's going on with you, Matty? You used to be a good, down-to-earth sort of a bloke. Now you get on TV.
Hey, look, it's short round the sides, man.
Yeah, I know.
The way my mother likes it.
Oh, jeez.
Only jealous, Bill, that you're not capable of doing anything similar.
What type of food do you eat in India?
I love you, Bill.
Is there anything else other than bloody curry?
Yeah, no, they do really good fried stuff. They do really good crispy stuff. They do great sweets. They do different kind of ice creams. It's a blooming gigantic country with a massive history. So there's like 20 different cuisines there.
Right.
So, you know, it's really different from the north to the south.
Steak?
Not a lot of it. Not a lot of beef in Hindu country, Bill.
Right. All
right. the issue being, Bill, that cows are sacred.
That's so they look after them rather than eat them.
Yeah, do they?
Right. Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, because isn't they nice running around the street, getting in the way of the traffic?
Yeah, I know, good. And they're all skinny and.
Now you know. Essentially, we did find some amazing. We went to the market and the vegetables there were unbelievable. They were absolutely literally saw stuff I'd not seen before. And there was some really nice stuff to cook with because the three of us were cooking there. So
jaffles?
You know what? They do a kind of version of a jaffle. You know, because the Indians are big into putting things in dough. The thing you'd love, Bill,
is a
thing called an appam. Which is like a little fluffy rice pancake that comes in a bowl. And you can then put things inside of and pile up. You'd love a dosa, crispy dosa. They're good.
Well, I liked jaffle. I said that because a couple of weeks ago you had the MasterChef.
Oh, the jaffle challenge.
7:30 Sundays to Thursdays, Channel 10. You had the jaffle challenge, which was good because we can all cook jaffles.
Well, I like that. I'd argued for the jaffle challenge for 7 years, yes. Bill, and we did it last year. And it was a big success, and it came back again. Mm. I like food that you can relate to rather than stuff that comes out of a blast chiller or a Thermomix.
Exactly. That's I want all
normal stuff. I mean, they fancied it up in a way that would be a bit further. But I think that, you know, we forget sometimes that a great jaffle, a great pie, these are the things on which Australian cuisine is built.
Well, speaking of pies, we might get to that. We'll just have a little break. We'll get to that. The two things I want to discuss with you, Matty. Firstly, Bill's greatest pie ever made, which we're sceptical about.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, what's coming up on the show tonight is absolutely nuts with Kylie Kwong. So more with Matty Preston after this.
In the studio is Matt Preston with Jim and Bill.
Yes, Dangerous. MasterChef, of course, tonight, 7:30 p.m. We're in Chinatown here in Melbourne, which is a famous eating precinct anyway. And we've got the magnificent Kylie Kwong as part of that. Tell us what happens there, Matty.
Two teams have to cook for people. It gets a bit mad. Some of the food's a bit disastrous.
Oh.
And it is, but you know what it is? It was one of those great moments where we end the challenge, we send the teams off, and they walk off down Little Bourke Street, and all the crackers are going off, and there's dust, you know, that smoke in the air, and the sun's setting at the end of Little Bourke Street. And it's one of those moments when I looked at that, and I looked at the boys, and we just went, we live in the best city in the world. There's no doubt about it. It's one of those real moments when you go, what an amazing place we live. So, yeah, look, lots of colour, light, movement and disaster. Yep. And Kylie Kwong, which is always
and dragons.
And dragons, which is good, because everyone loves a dragon.
They do.
Or lions, either way. I don't care.
And the shark fin, does that qualify as right in the middle of Chinatown, or is that a little bit off Broadway?
No, I reckon. I mean, there are a number, but yeah, there's a shark fin bang in the middle. There's a fair number of them around there.
I love it because the tables are like what we've got here in this studio, aren't they?
Easy to clean.
Yeah, exactly. Wipe down.
And look, it is the ultimate rule of a Chinese restaurant is when you go in, is you put your hand down on the table, you listen. And if you're a sticky squeak when you lift your hand off, you get up and go. It's simple as that.
The nightclubs. When your feet
like the nightclub floor. Exactly.
Slightly different.
Nightclub carpet. Same kind of unpleasantness.
Exactly.
Though.
But they've got nuts, wine lists, and beautiful food and tables like this.
Anyway, look, I think that's the amazing thing about so many of our Chinese restaurants here is the owners are mad keen collectors. So because they're BYO, they don't put a massive markup on the wines. You buy some amazing wines at really below bottle shop prices if you could find them in the bottle shop. So certainly I love that idea of, you know, some Peking duck and a Aussie pit and Melbourne Pinot, Victorian Pinot, delicious.
Yeah, all right, Bill, I can't hold you back anymore. Oh, what the hell have you done here? This is one of the connoisseurs of food in this country.
I know, he's one of the great food journos and critics and whatever else you want. TV personality, a big one. Hey, now, what we've got in front of Matty Preston here is Australia's best pie. It is a New Zealand-style vegan Thai curry vegetable pie produced by Car Pies out in Sunshine. Have a listen to this, Matty. This is Australia's best pie. It beat 1,700 pies from around the country and was judged by the Baking Association of Australia for its appearance, colour, aroma, taste, and consistency. And it's got no meat in it, Matthew. Do you want to taste it, please?
The pastry looks really bloody good.
The two of you. Mm. Experienced pie eaters.
Okay, all right. All right, here's the thing.
It's got curry in it.
I'm gonna sound like a very old man here.
Oh, yeah.
Pizza is designed to have tomato and cheese on it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just cheese on it.
Yeah.
That's pizza. A pie is designed to have none of three things in it. It's I've got to have
meat.
Yeah, meat, beef would be nice, or kangaroo or something that
chicken?
Pretends to be. I don't mind a chicken pie.
Yeah.
I don't mind an apple pie. I don't mind a I don't mind a Mrs. Wooten's pie, which is the classy England pie, English pie that was thought up in the First World War, which is basically vegetables. But the vegetables have got to have some resistance to them.
Mrs. Wooten's pie.
Mrs. Wooten. Not Wooten would be...
Oh, well, I can't...
Come on, Bill.
I honestly thought you said Mrs. Wooten's pie.
Well, it was a pie thought up by the wife of the Minister of Rationing.
Right.
Yes.
So look...
What do you think?
I have a philosophical objection to it. Now, having said that, that pastry is really good.
Yes.
And I reckon if they did like a beef and onion, or a steak and black pepper.
Yes.
Steak and
mushroom. There's mince and cheese. There's bacon and egg. There's steak and cheese. They've got them all there. 16.
So,
different
but look, look, look. I like vegetarians, vegans. I'm glad that they can enjoy some pie love. Yeah. But I reckon. As a carnivore, you'd feel a little short-changed by that pie, but because that's what we're used to.
That's right. I'm with you there. We're food critics here, Jim.
I'm glad they can enjoy a little pie love. Yes. And it's not a sentence we've heard on this show.
Yeah.
Hey, Maddie, you are a bloody star. The show's 7:30 tonight on the 10 Network MasterChef. As if anyone needs to know that, it's absolutely airborne. But at this time, in the city of Melbourne, Chinatown, which is extraordinary, with the magnificent Kylie Kwong, so that will be fantastic.
Oh, do they do a buttered chicken pie as well?
Well, they've got a lamb pie here. There's pork and vegetable. There's butter chicken.
Yeah, I believe that the best place to eat a pie is the MCG when your team's six goals up. That's the only time.
And unfortunately, you barrack for Collingwood, so you haven't seen that. And get a haircut too, will you? Have a look at that bloody hair. You think you're in a boy band? Yeah, you're 54.
Look at that. It's good.
Matthew, you're 54.
It runs all the way down. I could plait the front of it. I got a hair unicorn.
And push the table away too.
Oh, have a listen to this. Maddie, you are always welcome in here. Great to see you.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Best piece of football of the afternoon.
This is the midweek run.
People all around us getting excited.
Shell V Power, designed to improve performance.
Triple M rocks football.
Midweek Rub with the Chief in Purple, always here on a Wednesday. Welcome, gents.
Good afternoon, Jim. Dangerous.
Hello,
Bill.
What's caught your eye? Chief, anything in the footy landscape that you've liked the look of?
I have just come from a meeting at Fox, and there's only, I think, one other person that works at Fox that also works here at Triple M, but I don't want to reveal my source, who said it was a touch frosty, the Saturday Rub last week, Jim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I'm hearing... Rumours of censorship, Bill, which is something we've never traditionally done on Triple M because it's normally we're very good at, you know, eating our own here.
We're very good at hanging it on each other.
Apparently the muzzle's been put on and certain people aren't allowed to be hooked into.
Oh, well, I wasn't there Saturday. Damien?
Jim?
I think Chief. We got a fair bit out.
I don't think
he was missed.
All I'd suggest you do, Chief, is have a listen. It was a 45-minute strafing I received.
I'm told it was...
From an imbecile.
Imbecile.
From a man whose mind doesn't work.
A soft going over when it could have been.
It could have been worse, Jim.
Quite bad.
Well, of course it could have been worse because he could have gone to somewhere that was so horrifically inappropriate that it would have seen him off air.
Jim,
so we help him out at times.
You're more than capable of defending yourself.
Well, of course,
Jim.
I am, and I said that to him.
You've just gone down there, sat behind the glass, and expected.
But I said to this particular gentleman, sometimes we're trying to help you from yourself because if you want an 8-week kip off the radio, then you can go where you want to go.
Well,
but. There are, you know, practices that we save him from.
As I said, I'm not mentioning names, but Spud was adamant
that
you had gagged him and that it didn't work well and you were just protecting yourself.
There was no gagging. Now tell us, what did you see out of the, it wasn't really a stoush, purple between Tim Watson and Koshy?
Have you heard it, Chief?
I haven't.
Well, we've got some audio.
We will, just to set it up, Bill. It's the talk about Essendon being given access to the number one draft pick, should they finish last on the ladder, which is what happens normally. David Koch, Port Adelaide chairman, not happy about that. So the first voice you hear is him on his program on Channel 7 in the morning. And then Tim Watson responds on SEN.
That's not seem right. Not a great look.
And it's an unusual situation, this one, isn't it? Mm. You know, the Essendon.
Why are you being caught cheating on drugs and that entitles you to a number one draft pick?
Ooh. It's opportunistic for somebody in a position like he holds, David Koch, to make a statement like that. Even an off-the-cuff statement like that. Because there is a power associated with the words of people that hold positions like he holds. The AFL have already penalised Essendon, going back to 2013.
Mm.
I think we're all big enough just to have opinions, and I mean, if it is opportunistic in Tim Watson's eyes, we'll so be it. I mean, he's entitled to have an opinion, David Kosh, as is Tim Watson, and the AFL will give Essendon the number one pick, Jim, should they finish last on the ladder, because there's enough asterisks, isn't there, in the past and historically about compensation picks and who gets access to what. I fully believe they should get it, should they?
There was a draft that they were taken out of. Was it the 13 or 14?
It was the 13th season. They were taken out of the first round, and I think there was a back-ended second rounder, and I think it even extended into a second round in the next year as well.
So I think they've had a draft sanction already. Yep. The only thing I'd say is maybe, you know, for Mark Evans or whoever's portfolio it is to come out pre-season and say, regardless of where Essendon finish, they're getting the pick that corresponds. Would have knocked it out of the park as far as an argument, but I'm with you. I think they've done whatever penalty they've served. They've done, and we move on.
And I think the alternative is very awkward to somehow make a ruling based upon the Essendon situation. So therefore, you just let the ladder play out as it will up until round 23, and then their pick, as you say, Jim, goes where they finish. And if that's number one, well, in my eyes, that's what it should be.
They shouldn't get picked number one.
Even if they finish bottom of the list.
No, it should go to Hawthorn.
Oh,
we're just starting to find things a little tough. I think number one pick should go to Hawthorn.
There's only one reason you don't want them to get it.
Yeah. Should there be a priority pick this year?
No, there shouldn't. In my eyes, Bill, no, they shouldn't. I think we've had enough compromising throughout the history of the draft. We've barely had a draft which hasn't been compromised in some form. We need to get to a point where that is the case, and to give one to Brisbane, who have stuffed things up internally as much as anything, and they need to look at it that way. They've lost players. And while they're making endeavours to get it better than they have in the past, I'm sorry, if they do finish down the bottom, that's what they should get, just where their ladder position allows them to get it. And I'm sure you, Jim, I'm sorry, Jim, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I'm assuming you think the same.
We've spoke about this, and Jim's in the same boat. Yep. Are you, Chiefy?
Don't care.
You don't care?
Yes, you do, Chief. That's not correct. It is not correct to say you don't care.
Not sure he does.
A lot of things I don't care about.
No, I know there are lots of things, but I don't reckon that's one of them, Chief, to be brutally honest. Now, the worst game of football of the round is on the best slot of the round. Friday this is what night. A cracking round of footy,
it's,
this one.
It's my bugbear, Jim, as you know.
And yet, we've got Hawthorn and Essendon playing on Friday night. Yeah. Were they ever a chance of moving it?
No. They just don't, do they? We flagged it, didn't we, back, I think, around two or three when we realised what was going to happen to Essendon this year. And if they weren't going to move this game, no, they were never going to move any game. So, again, the fixture was done before the Essendon players were suspended, but it certainly gave them scope, I thought, to revisit the fixture once that was done from a prime time perspective, but they chose not to, and that's their prerogative. But good luck selling that game as an interesting point on Friday night.
Mm. There are four games that would be crackers on Friday night. I mean, Port Adelaide Western Bulldogs is a ripping game of footy, you'd think.
Geelong North.
Geelong West Coast Adelaide Domain is a cracking game of footy.
Giants-Sydney's a cracker.
Giants-Sydney's a beauty. That is absolute ripping game.
Imagine that was Friday night.
Yeah. Giant Sydney.
I'd
love that. I'd love that to have been the Friday night game, just as the neutral footy observer. But you just cannot get excited about what is in front of us.
Who wins that, Chief? Giants and Sydney at Spotless.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I realise it's down at Spotless, but it's not that much of an away game for the Swans. I just think they're playing an incredible brand of footy at the moment. So, but I have tipped Sydney, but not with any great confidence.
Lockie Neal just returns.
Star player.
He is a star player. Interesting hearing from the coach midweek saying, I've spoken to him about it, but if he goes, he goes.
Used the term commercial, didn't he? Yep. Which well, we read into it that he was saying that if he does go, it's for money, and obviously he's got an entitlement to do that, Jim, doesn't he, if he chooses to go that way. What he is doing...
But then the deal's got to be done, though, because he's not a free agent.
No, he's not. Yeah. He's not. But they will get good compensation. When I say compensation, they'll get a good draft pick back in return for him, which is a consideration for them, given they could well get the first draft pick or the second or third. So
but they're unlikely already... do out of Adelaide. If he thinks he's going to Adelaide and they keep going the way they're going, he's not going to get much more than sort of 12, 13, 14.
Unless they negotiate with another club to get an earlier pick. But what he is doing, and you've got to admire the players who do leave their last year in the unknown zone, as Josh Jenkins has done too, and he's doing the same as Lockie Neal. They're putting together good seasons, aren't they? Really good seasons under the pressure. And he would have to be leading the Dockers best and fairest right now, I would have thought.
What do the Western Bulldogs do with Robert Murphy, Chief? Says he wants to continue, got to come back from a knee reconstruction, age 34.
Yeah, but he's lightly framed, Murph. So he's the sort that I think will respond very well to the rehabilitation from a knee reconstruction. So it's not like
a power forward or a key position player or a ruckman. It's carrying a lot of weight and a lot of stress through the joint. He's light on his feet. He still has good leg speed. He's the heart and soul of that footy club. I think every person to a, you know, to a man, woman, child, or even down to the boot starter would have been thrilled when he made the decision that he wants to go on.
Do you believe he will be captain in 2017? Oh,
that's something else that they may want to have a chat about.
I think he should be.
He's entitled to be if he wants to be, but if he just wants to, you know, if he figures that he's going to be focusing so much on rehab and getting himself right and he perhaps can't devote the time that's needed, he could hand it over. So I don't think that's a big issue for the Bullies. They've got a lot of on-field leaders now.
Do you believe they've got the captain in waiting, be it next year, year after, as in Marcus Pontempelli?
Well, everyone's saying that, but I don't know what the quality of some of the other younger players that have been there for a few years are like. So we're only guessing from outside the club.
Morris is going to be captain, isn't he? The next,
is it Morris or Boyd?
Boyd, then Morris. Then Morris.
Yeah, they're going to rotate it.
They are.
At 20 years and 100 and whatever days he is, Bontempelli Bill, he actually became the youngest ever captain to win a game. There's been younger captains in interim capacity, but he actually was officially the youngest in AFL history, Jim, when they won on the weekend.
We all get titillated, Chief, by the quality of the player and then instantly think, well, there's your next captain.
Correct.
Because of how
doesn't
they play.
Always work that.
Exactly right. There's actually got to be the person a lot more often than the quality of the football that's they put out. And I don't know Marcus Bontempelli at all.
But when you're in your third year and you are the designated captain for a game in your third year before you've reached 50 games of your career, I think it's fair to say that he's heading the right way on that front. Yeah.
Tom Harley, classic example there, when he captained Geelong. Wasn't the best player, probably lucky to get a game there for a while.
Nick Maxwell, lucky to get a game.
Oh, well, he's back pocket, and he did a great job, but he wasn't the best player.
This is a premiership captain.
Yeah, made his name as a centre-half back, and Bill's just called him a back pocket.
Lucky to get a game.
In a couple of times there, he had a bad spell, but he fought his way back.
Bill!
He fought his way back, and he was a very, very good captain and premiership captain, but certainly wasn't the best player.
He hasn't mentioned anything about the playing ability, just captain.
Certainly wasn't the best player, and he would say that, Tom Harley.
Two-time premiership captain,
two-time premiership, two-time.
So not just once.
But Tom would say that. He wasn't the best player
He'd say that he shouldn't have been in the side a couple of times.
He'd say he'd be in the bottom... six or seven.
But
you said he's not even in the best 22.
Oh, no.
Hey, sometimes everyone has bad spells.
Does he
get dropped?
Right. Does he know you think this of him?
No.
I might text him.
Oh, yeah, go on. You got him there,
have
you?
I might cut the audio up and send it to him as an attachment.
Why would you do that for?
To get a response?
Because that's the sort of thing you do.
You'd be no good in the war. Jim's already dobbed me in for farting.
You're talking to a lot of people, Bill. You're the top rating program in Melbourne. A lot of people listen to it. In fact, I'm sure he's got wind of it right now.
He's a club icon, Bill.
I know he's a club
destroyed his
reputation. Two-time premiership captain, and we love him.
You know you're on air.
But he wasn't the best player at Geelong.
We need to get to a break, Dangerous. More of the Midweek Rub after this.
For Shell V Power. It is the Midweek Rub. Thanks to Shell V Power, designed to improve performance. James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, Jason Dunstall, and Damien Barrett with us as well.
Good player, Tom Harley.
Chief, you're gone with that, Bill. You can't get that back. Tom Hawkins, A, were you staggered he was suspended? And B, were you staggered the Cats didn't challenge?
I guess the best way to put it is I was really surprised that he actually is missing a game, to put it politely. It was horrific.
Worse for me that it's 2-1 purple.
Yeah, that was the bigger issue, wasn't it?
That is astounding.
Yeah, you'd almost cop one, couldn't you, down to the fine as they seem to do it. But But 2-1, and Jim, I think the greater indictment on the weekend was the clearing, effectively, of Lynch from the Gold Coast Suns. And I say clearing because he was fine, but...
That's the difference between the body and the face, isn't it?
But that punch was more forceful, it was more deliberate, and it was very...
It dropped him, too.
Very adamant that he did.
He stayed down a long time, too, later. A little bit too long for my liking.
Actually, a few of the blokes are doing that, aren't they? Yeah. Looking for 50 or free kicks.
Correct. If you got him under the ribcage as he appeared to get him, Bill, I know I'd go down, but...
Oh, mate, you'd go down if a gust of wind blew you next year. autumn leaves.
Well, that
you
may be true, but that would have hurt anyone, even a footballer like Laidler. And effectively, Jim, they're saying, the AFL match review panel, you can do that. You're not going to miss a game of footy. You can do that this weekend. So it's a free-for-all if you want to do it this weekend.
He's trod a fine line for a couple of weeks, Tom Lynch. I suspect they're waiting for him. I reckon Rodney Ead would have given him a fierce going over. And he'd want to be real careful from now on.
There was a bullet dodged by him just then.
When's the last appeal, by the way, that a club has appealed the MRP?
There have been ones. I mean,
there hasn't been one for a while, has there? Because every club...
Jack Viney got off that controversial one. That's going back probably two, maybe even 3 years now.
Exactly, because a lot of clubs just seem to take it. I'd love to see the Cats.
Once it said high contact, it is deemed high, obviously, in terms of the way they view it. And there was just no wiggle room to argue it, really. And they would have copped the 2 weeks effectively.
Yeah, oh, you wonder, though. You wonder if the court of public opinion might have whipped up enough of a frenzy for it to just be downgraded enough.
They can be do it. Yeah.
It has happened before.
You're all broken up about it, though, aren't you?
Yes. Well, you can get lucky on those things.
But Saturday night, Chief, you're referring to for people who have just forgotten North Plains.
Geelong v North.
Yes.
Strongly of the opinion that it was. All I'll say, Chief, is if that is representing our game in 2016, we've got some things wrong, in my view. That's just not something anyone should be rubbed out of a game of footy for.
And just on that, yet again, I've got no dramas if that's the way they're going to rule. But we know next week they won't. Mm. We know next week someone will do something probably worse and get away with it. If that becomes the blueprint, if that becomes the precedent, fine. We all know what we're dealing with. But all we do is get mixed messages on a weekly basis.
It's interesting because I don't think they considered intent at all in the incident. Whereas it looked to me like he wanted to hit him high up on the chest in a sort of a, you know, piss off sort of way. Get away, you fly.
The larynx.
The larynx?
You fly.
Is there an N in larynx?
I don't know, is there?
There is.
Well, it's...
Larynx.
Larynx.
Yes.
Is that the same thing as I'm talking about?
Yes, it is.
There in the throat?
Yeah.
Right.
The larynx.
Near the esophagus?
You bring out the best in Bill, Chief. I think when he sees you, he suddenly decides to bite off words. He's no chance of being able to pronounce.
I thought I had larynx down.
Just the old N, not quite in there. The Blues, if they beat St Kilda, and that's an if.
They should.
If they beat the Saints, they are on track.
They are.
It's staggering.
They'll be 7-5 if they do that, Jim, and that'll be 7 of their past 8 games, should they indeed do that. And they should, as Chief says. Revold, big doubt with his knee. Yep. Dempster, doubt with an injury. And Fisher's out again with a hamstring. We know that Goddard's out for the year.
Paddy McCartan's
out with concussion.
And no feeling in the arm, Paddy McCartan. There was a bit of worry there for a while. And they took him straight back to Geelong, to his family, St Kilda, from the airport, took him straight down there.
Well, it's his fourth concussion incident, Bill, in the last 2 games. Calendar years, basically. In the under-18s, he'd had an incident, and then he had one in his first year of AFL, and has had 2 this year.
Yeah, he has.
Going to miss this year by the next week, and there's a chance that he may even miss the one beyond that.
I'm pleased for the Carlton supporters. They've been down for a little while, and all of a sudden, it must be like a breath of fresh air at the moment, the way they're playing, the feeling around the place. It's a good story.
Just going to the footy and thinking your team's going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, we all think that sounds stupid, but for years they would have gone, you know what, we'll go along, but we're going to get a pumping. Then it's not happening anymore.
No,
even if they're getting beaten, they're still in the game. You know, you get a sense that they're well drilled.
And the 0-4 start to the year, it was like, here we go again, from a win-loss perspective. But we saw, didn't we, as far back as round 1 against Richmond when they... Probably, if they had have got the confidence they've now got, they would have won that game, wouldn't they? Because that was one that Richmond luckily or fortunately got back in that occasion.
Hey, tell me, what is going on with the Western Bulldogs denying any consultation with Hawthorn regarding Easton Wood?
Been going on with this one, Jim, I've been told today. What happened was... Question asked of Luke Beveridge yesterday at a press conference about Easton Wood's treatment for his ongoing hamstring problems. And the direct question was put to Beveridge by a reporter. Had the Dogs spoken to Hawthorn about this particular issue? And the response was, yeah, for different reasons, not just Hawthorn. He went on a bit, but it's a bit of an issue. And I believe the medicos at the Bulldogs are trying to distance themselves from any talk with another club about whatever's going on with Easton Wood. So don't know exactly the origins of it and where it goes, Jim, but been reported.
Is it an allegation or the story surrounds Easton Wood consulting someone from Hawthorn's medical department to help with his injury?
Yeah, that's the way I've been told that it was put to Luke Beveridge yesterday and then just read out the word-for-word response from Luke. It seemed pretty clear cut, but there's an issue with it of the Bulldogs medicos that they didn't feel that was indeed the case. Despite Luke Beveridge answering the question, which... It's not the hint or there. I mean, we've seen, haven't we, this year with David Swallow, we're being treated by, or at least being consulted with Saunders from North Melbourne, Jim.
That was in the off-season. Is this alleged to have been the off-season too, or this is a recent thing?
No, I think it's the way it read was a recent thing.
Well, that is interesting. All right. Tell us, Greg Swan, guaranteed Justin Lepich will coach Brisbane next season. Does that guarantee he won't?
It doesn't matter. Well,
actually, the CEO, it used to be a board that.
Yeah. History tells us, and we've seen plenty of examples of it, that you get strong, unequivocal support until the day they sack you. Mm. Yeah, so true. Even if they're thinking about the decision, they will say in the press all the way through, he is categorically our coach. Until it's time to make a decision otherwise, you have to show that sort of support.
Traditionally, the CEO doesn't have the say anyway, does he, Jim? It's a board decision.
Well, at North Melbourne it is. I don't know about how Hawthorne rolled
it.
Board, but yeah. Some clubs may have a different a way of doing it.
Look, it is a worry. They're 1-10. They certainly need to win games in the back half of the season. For that to be honoured, that final year of the deal that Lepich got given by way of an extension at the start of this year.
All right. So, big boy, you got anything that's going to make the chief laugh? Because I tell you, it's been very dry in that department.
No, of course I have.
I'm ready for a giggle, Bill.
Are you?
Yes.
You are every week and you don't seem to get one. Well, so loosen up a bit.
Mate, I'm loose as a goose.
I know that. Crikey, you are.
All right, well, Bill, let's hit the stick.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. Right. For Melbourne Brick, 10% off the beautiful veneer stone range for feature walls and fireplaces.
Melbourne Brick.
Did he say crikey, you are?
Crikey.
I think he might have.
Chief, I got a nice one here from a gentleman, and he listens to the show with his kids. Mitch is 7, and he tells the jokes and sings Plastic and goes along with it. And Annika doesn't like Plastic, all right? But Mitch has sent along a nice little joke here, Chief, so just have a laugh. How do you get a tissue to dance? You put a little boogie in it, Chief. But that wasn't the joke. Oh, that was just a nice little laugh.
Come on, Bill. You got to do better than
Sadly,
that.
Sadly, it wasn't your worst, Bill.
I know, but that's from Paul. Anyway, good on you, Paul. But here's my joke.
Here we go. Come on, Billy. Up. Let's laugh with Bill.
I went around to my mate's house last weekend, actually, and his kids were running everywhere. Bloody here, there, jumping on the couch and fighting and carrying on. He looked at me and he shook his head and he said, mate, don't you ever have kids. I said, why? Hard work? He says, nah, you're an ugly bastard.
Oh, no.
I like the way he tried to build himself into the joke, yet any mate would know that Bill has kids, which well, kind of defeats
well,
that
Well, don't
part
take
of the
that
joke.
As and, a and, part
and
of the...
already ugly. As yeah. Well,
yeah.
So
oh, not bad from Jimmy over there. Oh, plus one.
I said you're already ugly.
Oh,
I said to you, fat.
Oh, look where Bill's gone.
Oh, plus one.
Chief, your best line of the day, Bill.
Chief.
Bill's tried to go there all week.
Chief.
Pickle. Tom Harley's just rung in too.
Tom Harley, what did he say, Thomas?
He's not happy.
He wants his career back.
Yeah. He's doing very well up in Sydney.
Two-time premiership captain.
Two-time.
Look at him shaking his head.
And on camera.
Two-time premiership captain.
You're being filmed, Bill.
You're being filmed as you just did that.
He's doing very well.
You better defer to Plastic, Bill. Go.
Son plung pour moi. Chiefy Farber.
I'm having a nightmare, Bill.
Two-time premiership player, Plastic.
Triple M's Rush Hour podcast, brought to you by the Holden Commodore Black. Style is nothing without substance. From 39K drive away, plus free auto. Terms and conditions apply.